Welcome, brothers and sisters, and I just want to thank our senior pastors and the elders and the congregation, you know, for this opportunity. Thanks for coming today. And as Pastor said, we're doing this series, Fasting and Praying. It's the fast. The title is The Fast That I Have Chosen. So, my brother, can I get Isaiah 58 from verse 6 to 9? Yep. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is this not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light will break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Yea, I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking wickedness. Amen? Amen. So, preparing for the fast that I have chosen, you need three things. It's discipline, patience, and obedience. So, to be successful in anything we do, you have to prepare. You have to prepare. And so as we are about to start this fast, we need to prepare mentally, physically, and spiritually. Those are the three things we need to do. And, you know, you cannot start a fast and then now you're downcast. Your face is low, and then somebody's going to ask you, "Oh, my brother, what's wrong? Why are you looking like this?" And you're going to say, "Hey, I'm fasting." It's like, ow. You're taking your blessings away. Have a smile on your face, my brother and sister, and just have a little wipe now and again so there's a bit of a shine. They won't know what's going on because this is between you and the Lord. And as Pastor said, for those that are on medication, you know what I mean? Take care. You don't have to, you know, do what we're doing. But we're going to undertake. And we know, as Pastor said also, the Olympics have started. And then it used to be like, I mean, it's 4 years. But now, because of COVID, I think it was just 2 years. But you can imagine 2 years of preparation for the Olympics. That's your diet. Your training, technique, how you're going to beat your opponents. But most of all, their eyes are focused on the gold medal. Now, they're not worried about who's here and who's there. And that's us. When we start this fast, let's not worry about us. Yes, yeah, it's not going to be easy, but let's keep our focus on the Lord. Because he will strengthen us. And we go back, we see the book of Esther, when the king Ahasuerus was seeking another queen, well, a queen. And so what they did is they brought the young ladies into the palace. And these young ladies had to go through 1 year of training and preparation, trying to make them even more beautiful. So you can imagine what therapies they were going through for 1 year, so that when they go to see the king, they could leave a mark. The king can say, "No, that one is going to be the queen." But you must remember this, how many of them? And their focus is on the crown, to be the queen. They, nothing else. They want to be the queen. So they go through all these beauticians and all these massages and oils to get them to there. So we also now, on this fast, need to prepare ourselves that we are able to endure it. And we're looking to the crown, which is eternity with the Lord. And let's go to the next one, my brother, is seeking the Lord. It's Daniel. But I'll just take you back in the book of Daniel. And we remember that King Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon had besieged Judah for their sin. They were worshiping idols and they were continuing to do this, even though Jeremiah kept on saying, you're going to be in trouble with the Lord. You'll continue to worship idols. Idols doesn't just have to be an image. I think Andrew did share that once before. Idols can be anything in your life that you're giving more importance. Could be sport, it could be a car. There's so many different idols, but this is what was going on, and we find that, yes, the king came and besieged Judah, took the people, and he took some young men, good-looking, and they were very quick in learning, so he needed them to be used in the palace, in his kingdom. You know, young men that are quick to learn the language, learn the literature. So they took them. And when they got to Babylon, the guy that was their steward, Aspenaz, said to Daniel and his friends, well, because you're going to learn all this, it's like an apprenticeship, you're going to get special provisions. You're going to get from the king's table a portion every day and the wine that the king drinks. This is not normal wine, Pastor. This is a special, you know. This is, I don't know how many years, vintage and all that. And so Daniel says to his friends, nah, we here to promote the name of the Lord. And now we are not going to defile ourselves with these special provisions and this wine. Nah, give us vegetables and water. And this guy was very disappointed, Espionage. He said, man, you're endangering my life to the king. Because if he finds y'all are looking a bit weak, you know what I mean? After so long, he's going to get rid of me. It's my duty to make sure y'all are well. This, Daniel said, give us 10 days. 10 days. Veg and water. We're only going to do 3. 10 days. And we find after 10 days, they were tested and examined. Somehow they found the features. I don't know how they get to features. But the features were better looking than these other trainees. And then the flesh was more healthier of just veg and water than these are having the special from the king's table. They were nowhere near these. So they find after 3 years training, the king calls them in for an interview, just to see how well they've done. And he finds that Daniel and his friends were 10 times more intelligent than the other trainees. 10 times. This is what's going on in the spiritual realm. When we fast, my brother and sister, we are feeding the spirit and we are denying the flesh. But usually it's the other way around. We're feeding the flesh and denying the spirit. But taking up this fast, you are actually feeding the spirit. And so Daniel and them were promoted to the highest offices, and they were excelling. Until, I don't know if any of you have had a dream, and then when you wake up, it's like you can't remember this dream. It's just bits and pieces, but you can't put it together. So we find the king, Nebuchadnezzar, had a dream like this. So he says, okay, I've got all these wise men. So he goes straight to call the astrologers. the magicians and the suits, the sorcerers. Now, the wisdom of the Lord is the wisdom of the world is foolishness to the Lord, because these guys can do all these funny things. They're magicians, astrologers, and sorcerers. But when the king said to them, "I've had this dream, and I need you all, just first of all to tell me what the dream was about," and they are like, "This question has never been asked before. That you can ask us to tell you. You need to tell us what you dreamt, and then we can interpret the dream." But the king kept insisting, "I've paid a lot of money to have you trained. I've done all this. I can't remember the dream. I need you all to explain what happened." But because back and forth, the king said, "There's only one way here. Destroy all the wise men. That's it. Destroy them and burn their houses." It wasn't easy. It was, those years was very hard. And then they began. And then the word went out that they're seeking Daniel and his friends. That's why we need to seek the Lord during this time. So Daniel said, "Hang on to the killer, the commander. Take me to the king. I just want to have a word." And he said to the king, "Give us a little bit of time. We just need a little bit of time." So the king said, "Right, have whatever time you need." So he went back to his friends and he said, "Look, this is a serious matter. We need to. They've been fasting veg and fruit and water, but now, seeking God's mercy, they went up a notch. This is now maybe nothing at all. No food. Because they want to get the vision." And so we find that God revealed to Daniel the dream. And so we as a church, we need to be seeking the Lord this time. And God will reveal what you're asking for. He knows your heart. And so Daniel goes back and he reveals, he tells the king everything. The king is like down on the floor, prostrate, saying, "Thank you very much. Whatever you need, give him gold, give him everything." But Daniel said, "No. All I need is for you to know that the one who has revealed it is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." That's what he was there for. That's what we are here for, my brother and sister. We're standing as a church. We know at the moment, at this present time, the world is in a crisis. We know there are wars. There are rumors of wars. There are catastrophes. You know, Kevin, the plane went missing. Went completely missing. In this modern day and age, there's no track of it. All right? So you got catastrophes. You got uncertain weather patterns. It's raining in one place, the other place now. It's ice cold. But it's not according to what should be happening. We all know what's going on. And the last one is what? You got technology glitches. Computers, for the first time in the whole world, the computers crashed. What's that telling us? There's a sign. We need to stand as a church, my brother and sister. And we need to cry before the Lord. Especially when it comes to relationships in our families. Because the sacrifice of God is what? Is a broken spirit and a contrite heart. That's what God wants. He wants us to show that we need him. A broken spirit and a contrite heart. And we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So how do you fight the spiritual war besides having a fast? Getting deeper into the things of the Lord, knowing that there's nothing you can do with flesh and blood. It's spiritual hosts of wickedness. And we need to pray for our family members. Relationships in the workplace. Relationships in the church. Relationships on the sports field. You see, that's what God wants us to love one another. Because the most important thing is God is love. He gave his life on the cross for us. And then he said, how come you didn't visit me in prison? How come you never? Meanwhile, you did that to me. You didn't visit me. Because you never went to visit somebody in prison. You never went to visit somebody when they were sick. We're thankful for Graham being here. Praise God to see you here, Graham. You're a testimony. And let's see, forgiveness. Yeah, not my will, Lord, but your will. And we see that Jonah, the book of Jonah, God spoke to Jonah and said, go to the Ninevites. And Jonah said, nah, those are the people that attacked my people and treated us bad. I'll get on a boat and go in the opposite direction. Disobeyed God completely. My brother and sister, we need to know that God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. We can't disobey a direct command. Get in there and go there. He's like, hang on. Those people did some stuff. Let me go this way. Whatever we do as believers, we open ourselves up to attack, not only for us, but for our closest family members, relatives, friends. We can get them all open to attack. Because you see, with Jonah, just because of him rebelling, the boat was in a storm, almost sinking. And meanwhile, where is Jonah? He's in the bottom, having a sleep. And the captain found him and said, but what? How can you be asleep when this is going on? The people are perishing. Who are you, number one? I'm a Hebrew. And who's the God that you serve? I serve the true and living God. Wow, they never heard of things like this. All right, come up, let's go to the top. Then he said, no, throw me over. And so we have to also learn that if we open ourselves up to attack because of things like jealousy, greed, hatred, you know, unfaithfulness, these things can happen to anyone. But when it does happen, you know, I don't know if that one's included, speeding. We might just throw speeding in there too. Speeding. We're putting our families in trouble. I'm guilty myself. So we got to be so careful that not our will, but the Lord's will. And we see Jonah, he's in the whale of the belly now 3 days. Can you imagine? There's seaweed all around. I mean, the smell itself in there. The water's maybe up to his feet, yeah. And he realizes, man, now I'm in deep trouble here. Let me ask the Lord to forgive me. And he surrenders in there. This is what we need to do. We need to let the Lord take over. We need to surrender. We need to let go of self. And when the Lord speaks to Jonah, and somehow the whale now turned around from its where it was going. Because remember, Jonah was in the opposite direction. Now next thing, the whale shot towards Nineveh. Only when he surrendered, the whale spat him out. And there's Jonah. Can you imagine those years? You had this fortified city. Nineveh was, I think, I said the wall was, I think, four chariots abreast could go on top of the wall. That's how strong and fortified they were against the enemy. They were a powerful country. And Jonah, the guards must have been watching now from the wall. What's going on here? Here comes this whale. And whew, there's Jonah spat out. And there's Jonah now walking into Nineveh. Can you imagine? With a seaweed around him. He's got shells hanging down. Slimy stuff. And there's he walking through the gate. They opened the gate straight away. There was no questions being asked about where are you coming from, you're an imposter or anything. This is a miracle life. This is now, whew, we've never seen anything like this. And Jonah walks in and he says the first thing, because Jonah was one of the greatest evangelists. He only used three words. You must repent. That was it. You must repent. And he walked through Nineveh, and the king straight away declared a fast. The whole city, 3 days. No man or beast, animal, is to have any food or water. I mean, I don't know what the animals had to do with it, but they were included. No water, no food, 3 days. And maybe the Lord would have mercy on them. And it so happened that the Lord forgave them. And Jonah walked through the city, you know. And it shows you that God, he loves us, each and every one of us. Those Ninevites were sinning. But the prayers came up. And the Lord said he's going to have compassion on these Ninevites. And let me just give you a little testimony about myself. Back in South Africa, it was in the 90s, late 90s. One of my brothers had a terrible stroke. He was a big guy, and I don't think he was living right. So he had the stroke, and the blood from the body to the head had stopped. So he was like almost gone. And where they lived is like 10 hours almost away from where we lived in Durban. And so they rushed him to East London Hospital. I think my vehicle was getting a service or getting fixed. So I hired a man and Clive, Clive's dad. That's Clive. Can you just stand, Clive? Yeah. That was Clive's dad that I hired back home to take us to the hospital. So you got, back in South Africa, the ute, you can put some passengers in the back. But not here in Australia. So he had a little ute with a canopy, and we put a mattress with a pillow for my wife and my sister. And then I was in the front seat with Clive's dad, Mr. Weiss. And with this long journey, 10 hours, but I had stopped. Took up a fast, 3 days, nothing. And as we're traveling, you know, after every 100 or 200 kilometers, you pull into the servo to top up, and then he'd get something, and he'd say, are you having anything? And I'd say, nah, nothing. He couldn't believe it. All the way to the hospital, we got there. It was praying, and he was in a coma, so he didn't know what's going on. But anyway, the prayers don't fall on deaf ears. Those prayers are prayers to the Lord. And we find that prayed and we stayed there 3 days. And the last day, I seen some men come in. I think my brother's wife was going to a church. They had suits on. And I thought they could be from his work. But when I heard them speaking, they were speaking the heavenly language, speaking in tongues, my brothers and sisters. And I said, look at this. Men of God. Man, in the hospital, yes, we were praying, but I was praying not that loud prayer, you know what I mean? I was just praying. But this now was. And so I joined in, and long story short, we went back home. I think 3 months later, I got the phone call that my brother's been transferred to a hospital just about an hour away from us, St. Augustine's in Durban. And I said, okay, my first opportunity, I'll visit him. So I drove there, and my brother was awake and everything. And the first thing he said to me, I've given my heart to the Lord. Amen? Man, never been to church, I don't know if it was 30 years or something like that. But just that once and that prayers that went forth, he gave his heart to the Lord, became a born again. So your fasting and your praying is not in vain, my brother and sister. You are praying to a living God who is waiting to hear your cry. 2 Chronicles, we all know the scripture. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Amen? This is the prayer of faith that we need to stand on. Especially during this time, we're going to have evening prayer every night. And we need to humble ourselves and to seek, pray and seek the Lord's face. And we see that as Jonah went through Nineveh, he came to the end of the city and then he found a road on the top and he just sat on the hill. He was disappointed. How can God forgive these people? People that have hurt our nation. You know, sometimes we're still harboring stuff. We need to let go. You know, not half-heartedly. We need to let go. God will hear us. And Jonah's there and he's sitting on the side of the road mumbling to himself. Why did God now save these people? Anyway, it's a hot day. And then the sun was hitting him, so he's, if only I had a bit of shade. So God caused that night a tree to grow. And the next morning when he got up, there's a nice shade over my head. So thank you, Lord. And then that same night, God sent a worm to eat the tree. And the tree perished. I'll get the musician to come up, please, if you don't mind. And so there's Jonah now complaining and mumbling, but I had this tree that was giving me shelter. All of a sudden, it's gone. Why, God? What's going on? God said, but did you do anything to create this tree? Did you do anything for this tree to grow? Nothing. But yet, 120,000 people were destined for hell. That was going to be the end of them. But yet you are upset because I saved them. But now you're crying for one little tree that you've done nothing for. We need to get our priorities right, brother and sister. We are here for others. In the workplace, in the sport place, in our families, we need to share the gospel. We need to be living epistles. God knows what's the plan for each and every one of us. So don't give up hope. Yeah, it's only 3 days. But at the end of it all, you'll be blessed. Amen? Amen. Let's give God all the glory. Amen. Okay. Just pray.
Yeah.
I just say a prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that we could have an opportunity of having to just share together as a church, Lord, these 3 days of fasting. Father God, it's not an easy task. But it's one Lord God that would fill us and strengthen us. Father, we're asking for your Holy Spirit anointing that we could endure, Lord, these few days. So that, Lord, at the end of it all, Lord, we're going to be much better and stronger Christians to be used mightily for the extension of your kingdom. Lord, we also pray for the situation in the world right now. There's so much going on. But your plan, Lord, is for us to stand as the body of Christ together in one accord. Lord, to cry, to humble ourselves, that, Lord, you will hear from heaven and heal our land. And everybody said, amen.
Amen. Amen.